Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
All right, you're in for a good conversation. Bob Mata, defense attorney and host of the podcast Defense Diaries, is with us, and we are going to be digging deep into the very latest developments in the Delphi case. But in case you're just joining us, before we go to Bob, let me get you a little bit more caught up on what's going on. Judge Fran Gull has officially denied multiple requests from Richard Allen's defense team to overturn his conviction in the Delphi murder case. What this means is that Allen's lawyers, they just hit another major roadblock in the fight to clear his name. But it was kind of expected she was going to deny everything because that's kind of the only mode she has. Allen, who was convicted of killing Abby Williams and Libby German in 2017, had his attorneys filed a motion on January 20th arguing that serious mistakes were made in the case. They claimed there were problems with the timeline, which there was. False testimony, which there was, and even evidence that another person confessed, which there is. They also raised concerns about how the police handled key cell phone data pieces in the investigation. Oh, and it doesn't stop there. The defense team later filed another motion on February 14th, pushing back against the prosecution's objections. However, Judge Gull denied both motions without even holding a hearing. But wait, there's more! Richard Allen's defense team dropped another bombshell legal motion that has not yet, at least as of this recording, has been denied by Gull. This one might be harder to deny, you know, in a fair world. In this legal motion, it's exposing the potential suppression of exculpatory evidence. An inmate, Reese Davis, claims that Ron Logan confessed to the murders and implicated two other people, and yet those claims, along with Davis's multiple letters to the prosecution, were allegedly buried before Allen's trial. Now, with fresh allegations here that Keegan Klein may also have privately admitted some sort of involvement, the entire case is on very, very shaky ground. We're going to go back, and we're going to get to all of this, but we're going to start with the initial motions that Judge Gull denied earlier to those first four, the motions that involved the basically accusations that things had not gone correctly, the errors that he was trying to point out. Bob, let's get your thoughts on where all this is.
Yeah, right. No one's surprised. It was kind of par for the course. Is, again, denied without hearing, which has been her MO during this entirety of the case. But it's interesting from the perspective that even though these have been denied, and really probably the most significant motion that was denied was the motion to correct errors, which is, you know, which raised all of the issues about the van and the video that it existed that showed that the van actually appeared at a much later time than the state presented at trial. We're talking like a matter of like 15, 17 minutes, which, you know, when you take that into consideration it in terms of when the state claims that the time of death was, which was around 2:32, that 17 minutes becomes a very big deal.
Yeah.
You know, in the scope of things, 17 minutes isn't anything. In a trial like this, where they presented a very tight timeline, it becomes a big deal. So while it's been denied, the important thing from the perspective of the law is that the issues have been raised for appeal. So those all exist for the purposes of the appeal. The appellate court's going to be able to look at those issues. Had that not been filed, none of that would have been contemplated by the appellate court. So in that sense, I wasn't surprised at all that Gull had denied it. And, you know,
they basically had to go through the motions of doing it for later down the road.
Exactly. They had to preserve the issues.
Yep.
You know, so you have to do that all the time. And in, you know, at trial, pretrial hearings, like when you see these motions being filed, when you see objections that are being made, those are always for the purposes of preserving issues for appeal. So, yeah, that was, again, not surprising. She basically denied everything that was pending.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there were a couple of preservation motions that were still pending. And she also, the only thing that's still alive, which I know that we'll probably get to, is the motion that was most recently filed, which was the motion, again, to preserve evidence regarding Reese Davis.
And that's really an interesting point of this whole thing. This is brand new. I mean, this was filed on Valentine's Day. And this motion basically says that Reese Davis, he was in there with Ron Logan and Keegan Klein for a time as well. Ron Logan, obviously the person who was property the girls were found on, who the FBI looked at and said, I think that might be your guy, did a whole investigation, raided his house, raided his property, gave all the info over to Delphi investigators, and Delphi investigators said, bye. We don't need you anymore, and we're not going to do anything with all this info you just gave us. And then you got Keegan Klein, who is in prison for child porn charges, who was also traced to possibly trying to link up with one of the girls the day of the murder. Some key people in this that were never officially charged and never officially connected to the crime itself. The allegation is, Ron Logan made these confessions to Reese Davis in court, or in prison, rather, and that Keegan Klein may have also made some confessions or some admissions recently as well. Again, these are all accusations coming from an inmate that was with these guys, correct?
Yep. And it's interesting because the way that this plays out, there's a bunch of angles to this, right? There's the first angle is you've got a convicted felon who's serving a 50-year bid for allegedly distributing meth. I actually read through the opinion. He had actually called law enforcement on himself because he was in the throes of a, you know, like a meth high. And, you know, I think it's kind of well known that within, you know, that community in terms of addiction with meth, that there's a lot of self-reporting goes on just because of how it affects your mind. So at any rate, cops come over, raid the house. They don't find that he's actually got a lab going. He's not cooking, but they find all the precursor ingredients for him to make meth. That doesn't mean he was cooking it there, but they charged him as if he was, and it was within 1,000 feet of a school. So they hammered him. So the dude's doing, you know, 50 years. What was significant to me about that, you know, I mean, the guy's doing his time. I'm not sweating him on that. Is that when you have a situation where you've got kind of a snitching thing happening here and you're wondering whether or not the guy's telling the truth, right? I mean, because ultimately at the end of the day, that's what matters most. Is this guy full of it Or like, is it like what's his game? You know, yeah. like what is he looking to get from this? And, you know, the fact that his bid is on, you know, a drug charge really, to me, doesn't impact my ability to be able to believe that he's being truthful about this, mm-hmm. as opposed to like a crime of dishonesty. You know, like if you've got a crime of dishonesty, you know that the guy is a liar. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, because the crime's involved. So because this isn't that, and I just can't see any kind of end game for him where he stated, I'm not looking for anything. I'm not looking for them to shave any time off my sentence.
Yeah.
You know, like, so then you combine those things and I just can't see what he's getting from doing this, from making this all up from whole cloth, because the notoriety thing that I've heard some people, oh, he just wants to get the new, no, I'm not buying that. He's putting himself in peril,
yeah,
in prison as being a snitch.
Yeah.
Maybe not with Kagan Klein, because Kagan, like, you know, but if you're a snitch in the joint, You're in peril, man. So, I mean, like, yeah. He's put himself at risk for seemingly no gain.
Yeah.
Which, to me, lends credibility and credence to what he's saying.
Well, and he's seen what happens to people in jail who speak about this case in any way, shape, or form that may not go along with the official story, you know, like Richard Allen. Let's put him into solitary confinement for years, and then, oh, we get a confession. Like, he's risking a lot, not just as being a snitch where someone on the inside could go after him, but I think I'd be more concerned on the outside and where they might take him now, or how they might try and shut him up or intimidate him to be quiet going forward, because this is a lot. He's writing to the TV stations now. Actually, one of them reached out to me yesterday with one of the letters wanting to talk about it, and he's not shutting up, and I think he thinks he's trying to fight this battle for someone who is wrongfully accused.
100%. And, you know, it's like when you kind of look at the timing of it in terms of like his ability to make up what he originally said, because mm-hmm. remember, this started in March of 2017.
Yes. This isn't new. Okay?
This isn't new. Like, so meaning that when he's talking about these things that Ron Logan allegedly told him, about the, you know, the girls being on the bridge, and that, you know, like the whole animal story, and that they, you know, he got him back, and that, you know, he was worried that Abby was upset because he put his hand on her shoulder, and, you know, how the whole thing devolved to where he felt like he had to kill the girls because he's on probation, you know, and how he does it, mm-hmm. you know, with the knife, the, you know, the box cutter to the necks. I mean, it in March of 2017, none of that was available to the public.
No,
none of it. And there may have been a situation where people on Reddit were speculating, you know, like there's always been allegations that were leaks that were made, but this dude's not privy to it.
No,
like he's in the joint at that point. You know, this is way before the Franks memo.
Yes.
You know, so like the point being that this guy didn't have these type of details to be able to fabricate this story out of whole cloth. You know, I mean, those are the kind of things. And when you look at it, you're like, all right, I mean, yeah, you got to weigh the fact that he's a convict. And, you know, I mean, that's going to be used against him because it always mm-hmm. is in courts. But when you kind of look at the facts surrounding it in terms of how he would have come up the information, It seems credible to me.
It does, because he's coming up with information he otherwise couldn't know. So I guess that's the big part to explain. How do we know about the box cutters? And look, and these other folks that he's alleging in this thing, like, yeah, we've all kind of wondered about what the involvement was, if any, because it all doesn't seem to add up very well, that it's pure luck that Kegan Klein was communicating with one of the girls and they just happened to die that day. What weird coincidence that is, that, right. You know, Logan's on the property and he makes up, he literally comes up with an alibi before anyone knows the girls are murdered. And that's not a red flag to anybody. And his phone shows him on the property where the girls died while they died. And that's not a big red flag to anybody. I don't really see a whole huge reason why this guy would be making this up. But again, let's, you know, it is what it is. The big thing that that we've heard out of Delphi when they tried to dismiss his letters here is, oh, he failed the polygraph miserably. Consider the source. Who administered the polygraph? Could it have been the same folks who don't want this information seemingly getting out? At least that's how it appears. And they're the ones who are saying he failed. Can we get this done by an independent third party maybe and see just how much he fails it then?
Exactly. I mean, who was the examiner? When did this take place? Right. All those things. And like, are we all of a sudden acting like polygraphs are some kind of like infallible lie detecting machine? I mean, if they were, we'd be using them in court all the time.
That and the fact he offered to wear a wire.
Right.
Now, that to me is the other part where it's like, look, this guy really is not trying to make shit up. He's offering to wear a wire. He offered it to him several times and they said, no, sir, we don't need that. You don't need to do that. I mean, that's somebody who really is trying to help you. Why would you turn that down? If you are the investigator on this case, it's 2017 here when we're talking. There is no Richard Allen that's on the radar yet. There's no charges against Richard Allen other than there's nothing even there other than the fact that he raised his hand and said, hey, I was there. I'll be happy to give you any information. And then they forget about that. So you have this train that needs to go somewhere, but they're ignoring all of these pieces of evidence that are just being spoon-fed to them and saying, nah, we're good. We're not even going to look into it. We're not even going to consider it. Why?
It's inexplicable.
Does this happen in other cases where they just, we don't care. We don't want to hear any of these evidence?
I mean, yes, where they've developed tunnel vision on a suspect. But like you're saying, that wasn't the case here.
We weren't in tunnel vision yet.
They were right.
Yeah.
There was nobody. They had their designs on nobody at that point. I cannot come up. And as far as I know, Ron Logan was never cleared.
As far as I know as well, I've talked to the FBI and the FBI says the same thing. I don't believe he was ever officially cleared other than dying. And that still doesn't clear him. So,
You know, but at that time, when they certainly liked him to the extent that they executed the search warrant, they went in, you know, it's like, how are you just ignoring it unless there exists something, which again would have to be in the discovery. If there was a way that they said, you know what, due to the search warrant and what we recovered there, we're confident that this guy didn't do it. Like there would have been some semblance of evidence found on his property. And
yeah.
And we feel, I mean, aside from the girls themselves, right.
That negates the fact that the girls are on his property cleaned up, the fact that he had to make up a fake alibi and got caught doing that, the fact that his cell phone data shows him at the scene of the crime, there'd have to be something that negates all of that.
100%. Like all of it. And I mean, did they check the fire pit? Did they check to see if there were any kind of remains from clothing that had been burnt? Which McClellan misstated, like he just completely made up the fact that Reese Davis said that Logan told him he burned the girls' clothes when he said he burned his own clothes. But, you know, like McClellan conflated that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, because that's everything that has gone on in this case is like exactly why if you were to make a list from A to Z in terms of just the shady shit that has gone on in this case. If people are wondering why so many people are questioning this conviction, look at the list.
Yeah.
Like this isn't you and I trying to spread a
fucking,
like a narrative here, man. Like this is shit that has gone on like unequivocally. And you can look at it starting from just the botched investigation and working its way all the way through trial, man. And it's like, if you're sitting out there and you feel comfortable about this verdict and how this thing went down, God bless you. You know, like I don't want to live in that country. I don't want to live where that becomes the norm of how our criminal justice system works. If you do, then we're going to have to agree to disagree, because that is not how this system is set up to work.
No.
What happened to this guy? I mean, if this isn't a railroad job, it's going to be the biggest series of coincidences that I've ever seen in my life in regard to anything.
Yeah.
Because there is just every single element of a railroad job exists here to where I just can't get past it. I just can't get past it. And I can't help but think that this guy just got railroaded. And it, like, he could be guilty. I don't know.
No. How have we never looked at all of these pieces of evidence, and why? Why not? You have all, there's so much, there is so much here that points, this is, in many ways, this is reminiscent to me of the Ellen Greenberg case, in a way, where the power just basically says, nope, you're wrong, we're going away, we're looking the other way, la 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 la, 20 stab wounds, post-mortem, she had to be a zombie to kill herself, la la la, not true, we can't, well, it's true, but we're just not going to address it. It's just like, we're just not going to address it. We're not going to handle anything the way that we're supposed to in this country. We're just going to, you know, hopefully you go away and everyone else gets sick of it as well. Luckily, we're not there anymore, and people pay attention well beyond just, you know, it coming out of the headlines. But my God.
I mean, thank God for us.
Like, thank God for people giving a shit online.
Like that, yeah. That's the point, right? It's like, if we're not out there squawking,
yeah.
I'm talking about guys like you and I and everybody else that does,
yeah.
that's putting news that doesn't exist on legacy media out there,
yeah.
and giving just way more detail than they have time to give on legacy media. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're watching a news report on, you know, your local TV news, you're getting a 3 to 4 minute piece that's going to be very truncated and it's going to be very limited. Whereas now you've got guys like you and I that sit here and talk about this shit for hours.
Yeah.
And we're digging into it in a way that just never existed before.
There's no excuse not to be informed on a topic like this. If you're going to have an opinion, great, but you have to be informed on it. And you can't just walk away going, well, they said it's this, it must be true. In this case, it's not. There's a lot of shit here that just blows your mind, and it gets crazier and crazier every single day. Okay, so the new motion that's been filed, the one about Reese, I read the whole thing today. It's on the podcast if somebody wants to go back, or on YouTube and absorb it verbally. It's all there. Where does this go from here? Is this another one that gets thrown in front of Judge Gull?
To me, this is the one that requires an answer from Nick McClelland, because this one has Brady implications.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, the other stuff is stuff that she can just say, well, you know what? I don't need to have a hearing on this. I can just rule on it. But where they've alleged that McClelland has failed to turn over exculpatory evidence, which, I mean, you can't, like, and this plays out a couple of ways, Tony. It's like it's definitely exculpatory in nature, right? Because you've got another guy who is obviously got some details that it appears that only the killer would know. But kind of the bigger point of it is that in a situation like this, had they been tendered that evidence at the proper time, that they would have been able to walk into that day of hearings with what I think would have been more compelling to Gull in terms of the Ron Logan information. So, and potentially been able to put Reese Davis on the stand to testify so that she can judge his credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And have the, you know, cause I mean, there, I don't see where she's going to have there was no nexus to lean on to deny them being able to put that on at trial. So, and you have to think, so just play that through.
Yeah.
So say that they have these letters, they put Reese Davis on, and I had Andrew Baldwin on our channel last night. Mm-hmm. He came back on to talk about this. And I mean, the plan would have been to get Reese in there. during that 3 days of hearings to have him testify as to what Ron Logan told him and to what Kagan Klein told him that basically corroborated what Ron Logan told him, and have her sit there and say, all right, you know, okay. And even if she would have said again, no, still you've made the record.
Yeah.
You know, it's you've made the record, which would make it even more implausible for the appellate court to look at it and be like, yeah, this guy got a fair trial. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The more that you could pile on the front end in terms of things that she just got wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how she could say, considering that the girls were found on Ron Logan's property, that there was no nexus. Because the standard, Tony, is not that you have to solve the crime as the defense attorneys. That makes no sense.
No.
Because if you're having to solve, if I've solved the crime, there exists no such thing as a third party culprit defense, because if I've solved it in the way that she's requiring, well, there was no DNA found. There was no, like, you couldn't prove that they were if I was able to do that to the extent where law enforcement made the arrest, well, they're going to dismiss the charges against my guy because they got a better suspect.
Mm-hmm.
So when am I bringing forward that third party culprit defense? Like this whole concept of having to solve the crime in order to be able to put that kind of defense on in front of her in her courtroom is crazy.
Yeah,
it just is. I've never heard of any other judge doing it like that. I've heard of judges, hey, you know, I want to keep you on a really tight leash. You know, this isn't you just going in there and willy-nilly talking about somebody that has no kind of nexus to this at all. These are like, it's just, if you, like, a nexus is not solving the crime.
No.
And that's the way. So I like that whole Reese Davis thing. So if it turns out, and it goes one of three ways, right? It's either McClelland knew about it in terms of the letters. And remember, the letters came way later in the game.
Yeah.
The video, which the defense never got, and Baldwin sent an email early, and by his own admission, he's like, I wish I would have followed up on it. I dropped the ball.
But there's a record of requesting it back then. That's part of it, too. It's not like this is just some new thing that Reese is saying that wasn't documented at an earlier date.
Correct. And you've got the video, and then years later, that's when the letters come, when they make the arrest, and Davis goes through his whole thought processes on why he wasn't very talkative the first time that Andy Baldwin went with him, because he's like, I don't know that Richard Allen's not the third guy.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't until after the trial when the evidence starts coming out that he's clearly following it, you know, that the letter writing campaign starts. And I think it started a little bit before trial after the arrest. So, you know, he's sending these letters out to McClelland, and you sit there and you think, well, why would he send it to McClelland as opposed to the defense? You know, and I think that the answer to that is like, you're going to the guy who's charging a guy that you're saying is innocent.
You're thinking you're doing the right thing. You think you're going like here, if you're a straightforward prosecutor and you're not covering something up, or you don't just have blinders on it, I don't know which it is, or all of the above with him, you would go, oh, holy shit, we got to look into this. Not go away. We don't. And it not. You can only give me two paragraphs. Huh? I mean, what the hell is that? Where he wants to convey this information, writing it down. You can only do two paragraphs. Like, I have a lot of info here. Like, you should probably hear it. It may take more than two paragraphs. Nope, just two.
I know, man. it's just, what? The whole thing. I mean, but so here's the way this is going to boil down. So it's the one thing that she did not deny today.
Yeah.
In her series of denials. It's the one thing that's pending. And I think that she did that because I think McClelland has to answer it. And you know, I'm not going to even say it, but one of three things happened here. It's either McClelland had him and he committed a Brady violation by not turning him over, or two, that he had him, but it was so close to trial, which is, this is what I think he's going to say, but that he had them, they came in, and that he never looked at them, you know, that they were prepping for trial. This was in the months leading up to trial. He didn't have a spare minute, and he was done looking at shit. You know, like, it didn't, if it wasn't relating to Richard Allen, he wasn't looking at it. So that You know, he just didn't look at him to send him.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, I think, will be his plausible deniability. And then, you know, the other is that, you know, he just never got the letters, which is the thing that Andy Baldwin fears most. You know, like if you're the defense attorney and you're basically calling Brady on a prosecutor, it's a big deal. You know, I mean, it's a really big deal. I mean, that like Brady violations end careers
for
prosecutors. So it's you don't tread lightly. You're doing your due diligence. They're double, triple checking, making sure that they never got these things. And Andy, when he fires off that motion, felt confident that they never got him.
Yeah.
You know, so but if McClellan turns around and says, oh, we never got him, then it's going to become incumbent upon Andy to be able to prove that they did. Mm-hmm. And now he's claiming that he's got a third party witness that is going to be able to corroborate that McClellan's office did receive those letters. So, you know, I mean, like, and the reality is that the letters exist. And if he got them, it doesn't matter what reason, even if it's the plausible deniability reason, it's still Brady material. It's still material that would have potentially changed the outcome of the trial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you have to sit here and think if that jury had another person, namely Ron Logan, to point the finger at, oh my God, well, the girls were found on that guy's property. Oh my God, he lied about his alibi. Oh my God, you know, and you, oh my God, he knew about facts that only the killer would know. I mean, you have to imagine, had they been able to present that at trial, that there very likely could have been a different result.
Yeah, you're just inept at doing your job if you didn't pay attention to that.
Right, it's ineffective assistance if you're ignoring it. And that's what Andy's response was.
Yeah.
He's like, I took the risk, but I'm ineffective if I don't. You know, like this guy's told me this information. I have to assume that it's true. I'm going to assume that it's true. It seemed credible to me. You know, I did my due diligence. It doesn't appear that we received it. And, you know, and then I asked Nick flat out. I asked him before I filed this. Did you get the letters? Simple answer, yes or no. Did you receive the letters, yes or no? If so, when? When did you receive them? Simple answer. Nick didn't respond, you know? So it's been over this long weekend and we've heard nothing. So, I mean, out of all the denials, the fact that she left that one open and pending, I thought was a good sign.
Could she just deny that one too and just say, nope, and then nobody has to look into this period? Or would it, I mean, will it take something larger to have this investigated? Or does she have the power, like she has with everything else, just to say, oh, good, a lot of good points there, but nope.
I mean.
And then what?
I don't know. I don't know, man. It's like, Gull is at the point where she's so dug in. And I think that she believes that they got it right. Like, I think that in her heart, she believes that Richard Allen's the guy, like, despite everything that she's heard. Like, she just...
Is she not is she not watching the same thing everybody else is?
I don't know. I don't know. But at this point, she's willing to let the appellate court deal with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's it. So,
and I mean, obviously that's eventually where it will likely end up. If he never got the letters, what does that say? Where would they have gone? Who would have stopped them?
I mean, like no one. So, I mean, you would think that, and we've had this discussion, whether or not when the letters are going out, if they're not legal mail, they're typically not sealed because they're typically scanning them in. So either Newcastle scanned these things in or somebody at the prison saw them, you know, but like him trying to, like Andy trying to track that down. And then your other source is whoever takes the mail for the prosecutor's office over there.
Yeah.
Whoever's sitting in front. Like, people are going to know. Yeah. Like, if they try to ghost the letters, you know, like if I'm McClellan, I probably made a bunch of calls over to Newcastle to try to figure out what their protocol is. If in fact he got him and just didn't turn him over, you know, like his smartest move would be like, I got him, but we just like, I didn't realize that we had him. Like, I was way too deep into prepping for trial.
And if he were to come forward and make that admission and say, look, we just messed up, didn't look at him, what would the next step be? What would the correct not saying what's going to happen. What would the correct next step be if even the prosecutor says, yeah, we got them, they're here, we didn't do anything with them?
I mean, the next step is that essentially you're relying on the appellate court to say, all right, well, this existed. It wasn't turned over, no matter what the reason. We're not going to say it's a Brady, but it existed. It's clearly exculpatory or potentially exculpatory. I think it gets him a new trial.
Does Gull have any place in this process of it getting to an appellate court where that could take place?
It's part of the record now. So if she denies it, it's still part of the record.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The mere fact that it was filed, I would hope that she would preserve order it all to be preserved. But, the bottom line is that thank God the guy himself is alive.
Yeah. For now.
Right. As much as I'd like to see the letters, at least he's still alive for now. So we'll see how it plays out.
Let's go to speculation land a little bit. Because
hey, I got a dip, dude.
You do?
Yeah, I'm sorry, man.
Okay.
I got Jason Flom waiting for me, and I thought it was supposed to be a 2. She gave me, she knows I'm fucking central, too. And she's like, 2:00. I'm like, 2 my time? She's like, are you joining? And I'm like, oh, my God.
Okay.
So I apologize. No. We'll make up for it on Friday.
Okay, yeah. Well, sounds good. We'll go Friday.
All right, brother.
All right, I'll talk to you later, bud.
All right, be good.
All right, you too. Bye.
All right, bye.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. You just made it through an episode of Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Congrats on surviving the ads. Want to skip them completely next time?
What is that?
Join the True Crime Today Premium Plus channel on Apple Podcasts. Ad-free episodes, exclusive early access, and no interruptions. Just pure crime storytelling. Try it free for 3 days. Don't wait.
Bitchin' stuff. Dude.
Hit subscribe now on Apple Podcasts and get ahead of the mystery.
Know what I'm saying?
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless, unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.